Even after responding to a request for proposals, negotiating, and winning a contract, things change. Sometimes contractors and the government need to make what the regulations call equitable adjustments. And where it gets sticky is just how much profit a contractor can make on equitable adjustments. Baron Swag Leonard's attorney, Terry O'Connor, has studied the fine print. He joins me now with some surprising findings. Terry, good to have you back.
Good morning, Tom. How are you?
All right. So first of all, tell us exactly what an equitable adjustment is.
An equitable adjustment is an adjustment to the contract price based on the fact that the government work has changed. And this adjustment to the price is supposed to be equitable. It's supposed to be fair. And, of course, that's a very difficult word to define, and everybody has a different interpretation of what equitable is in any given situation. So it's a room for negotiation when contractors and contracting officers are trying to negotiate equitable adjustments.
And from your blog, I get the impression that what's not a wise course is to simply cut and paste all of the what you negotiated in the main contract into the equitable adjustment, because there's room for negotiation there too.
Yeah, that's true. The problem, in a sense, with this cut-and-paste method is that there is an awful lot of logic behind a contracting officer telling a contractor, look, contractor, you won this contract bidding 2% profit. Why shouldn't you, on this equitable adjustment, now also get 2% profit? And the courts are clear in this instance that the equitable adjustment is supposed to be based on the changed work. And if the changed work is much more difficult and takes more contractor effort, then the profit is supposed to be higher. I mean, there's a big difference from a contractor having to paint a room versus a contractor having to remove asbestos from a room. And because there is more risk, contractor risk and contractor effort associated with removing asbestos, a contractor is supposed to get more profit in doing that kind of work. So the idea of being locked in to your winning profit is, there's some logic to it, but according to the regulations, there's supposed to be some thought process attached to figuring out, is the work greater? Is there more effort? And is there more contractor risk? And the funny thing is, sometimes there is less contractor risk. Like I said, painting a room, you know. So this can really cut both ways. It can help a contractor. It can hurt a contractor.
So in other words, if the same contractor is hired to come in and remove asbestos and then paint the room when they're done, and they cut a hole in the wall and say, guess what? There's no asbestos. Then it would be, then they would probably renegotiate the other way.
Exactly. So I mean, this cuts both ways, as I said. And what my point was, it's good to have some logic here attached to how profit gets determined. The problem in reality is that, first of all, it's hard, I think, for contractors to go to a contracting officer asking for more profit when the contractor knows that budgets, federal budgets, are really, you know, the funds are going down, or they're tightening up. And since the reputation that a contractor has, the relationship a contractor has with a contracting officer is very important, and contractors don't want to rock the boat in a lot of cases, but they're losing money. There's a recent Grant Thornton study that said 52% of the contractors made 0 to 5% profit in it's in their 2015 study. That's not a lot of money.
All right, Terry O'Connor, we're speaking with. He's the director of government contracts at Baron Swag and Leonard. And so it sounds like sometimes contracting officers confuse overhead allowable costs with profits, and those are not the same thing at all, are they?
No, by no means, no. And the interesting thing about these federal regulations, FAR here, is that FAR has a very sophisticated explanation and rationale of what contracting officers should consider in dealing with profit. For example, FAR points out that the profit figure, even the profit figure that a contracting officer settles with, doesn't include unallowable costs like taxes and profit. Well, again, the same Grant Thornton study showed that for contractors that have to finance their work, their profits can go down by 35% once they consider taxes and interest, because both of those components, taxes and interest, are unallowable costs to the government. So even when the contracting officer thinks they're doing a 7% profit, that's not take home to a contractor.
And so what should a contractor's best strategy be for making sure that they get covered for all of their costs? Or do they have to figure that if they're going to bid 7% in their own internal calculation, they should realize it's going to be 3% or something?
Well, I think you got to bid to win. And I think all contractors want to win a contract because they believe that they can make profit on it. They wouldn't have bid it otherwise. So my sense is bid with what you can. But once there is an equitable adjustment, I think contractors have to, have to know that FAR does allow more profit based on risk and contractor effort. And when it comes time to negotiate equitable adjustments with a contracting officer, point out in FAR where the effort and the risk are supposed to be rewarded, and show the contracting officer that you are, in fact, devoting more effort and more risk to that work. It would be easier, I think, to point these things out to contracting officers and to make your case.
All right, so just briefly tell us what part of the FAR this is all in. This is somewhere in FAR 15, correct?
Yeah, 15.404.
Okay.
15.404-4 profit.
Okay, that's a good one to remember. And I guess the question is, how often do you see this coming up in large? Is it only a function of large, complex contracts, or does it come out routinely in all contracts?
I think it comes up routinely, Tom, especially in these days when, as I mentioned before, the budgets are shrinking. My experience has been that contracting officers are trying to get a slightly different work or more effort out of contractors, and contractors to keep a good relationship with the contracting officer, their customer, are more willing to give away free work. So when it comes time to for a contractor to try and get paid for some of this work, I think that's fair for a contractor to get better compensated for this.
So the mistake is throwing things in because you think it'll get favor with the government.
Yeah. But on the other hand, I mean, building relationships with contracting officers, that's what every seller wants to do. And whether you're in a private market or in the government market, you want to have a good relationship with your customers so you'll get follow-on work. So it's very difficult, I think, for contractors to rock the boat in equitable adjustments to ask for more profit. But there is some logic to it, and I think it's fair for contractors to make their case based on the FAR principles that they are entitled to more profit.
It seems to be both sides need to be fair-minded in this. I mean, you can have a good relationship with someone who comes around to your shop telling you protection every month, because if you don't, your shop will get firebombed. On the other hand, you can have a good relationship with someone who is interested in a win-win situation. Isn't that what contracting officers are supposed to try to effectuate?
Oh, yeah, that's certainly true. The problem that I'm seeing, and I've been fortunate enough to be teaching contracting officers part-time for about the last 30 years, and the problem is that the contracting officers just don't have the time. I think they're grossly overworked and underpaid. They just don't have the time to work through all the regulations that govern profit. So what they do is they say, hey, look, our agency on this kind of work allows 5%, take it or leave it.
Well, maybe they should be like the Talmud scholars and just read one page of the FAR every single day of their lives.
That's very difficult to do, unless they want to go to sleep at night. FAR will do it.
All right. Terry O'Connor is the Director of Government Contracts at Baron Swag Leonard. Thanks so much for joining me.
Well, thank you, Tom.